is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Nine people are dead in Vancouver, British Columbia, after police say a man drove a vehicle through a crowd at a street festival.
At approximately 8:14 p.m., a lone suspect, subject male with a one vehicle, drove through a crowded community event.
It's Acting Police Chief Steve Rye. That community event celebrating the Filipino community said multiple people were hurt. The police department posted they're confident it was not an act of terrorism.
That male was taken into custody at the scene by the crowd. It was a Filipino community event. The crowd immediately called police. We then took custody of the subject, and he is now in our custody being held.
This is ABC News. A Georgia sheriff's deputy was killed. A second was hurt in a shooting during a traffic stop on Interstate 20 Saturday night. The Columbia County Sheriff said the wounded deputy's in critical condition. The suspect, identified as James Blake Montgomery, was said to have fled and barricaded himself in a trailer. His former brother-in-law, David Guillebeau, said,
"The person I knew back then wasn't him. Something has changed."
The NFL draft concluded Saturday, and so did the longer-than-expected wait to hear his name called for University of Colorado quarterback Shedeur Sanders. Once considered a first-round selection, Sanders lasted until the 144th overall pick when he was taken by the Cleveland Browns. The son of Hall of Famer Deion Sanders told reporters,
"I never felt any type of way. I understood, okay, this is the route, and that's it."
History in baseball is Eugenio Suarez of the Arizona Diamondbacks become the 19th player in history to hit four home runs in one game. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Experts say Milwaukee's lead pipe problems are an environmental justice issue. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
At least three Milwaukee schools have closed and about a handful of students were exposed to unsafe levels of lead. As city officials continue to investigate, they're forced to do so without federal support that usually assists in crises like these. Tony Wilkin-Gibbart with Midwest Environmental Advocates says Milwaukee was already facing a lead poisoning crisis.
Milwaukee has the highest rates of childhood lead poisoning of any community in the state. That problem is primarily driven by the fact that inner city Milwaukee has been historically subject to redlining, housing discrimination, and disinvestment.
Gibbart says inner city kids may be going from homes that have lead hazards to schools that have lead hazards. Poor families and children are disproportionately impacted. Lead paint was banned by the federal government in 1978, but the majority of buildings in Milwaukee were built before the ban. Wisconsin prohibits municipalities like Milwaukee from requiring rental inspections before occupancy, leading to poorly maintained units and potentially overlooked lead presence. Marty Kanarik, professor of epidemiology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, says research now shows that no amount of lead is safe for children. children.
It slows their growth and development. It affects their learning and behavior. It even can affect their hearing and speech, lowers their IQ, decreases their ability to sit still, to pay attention. And unfortunately, these effects can be lifelong.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see a mix of sun and cloudiness across the area today. A couple of showers early, otherwise highs in the mid-60s and a southeast breeze. Tonight, showers and storms, a little greater chance. Lows in the lower 50s. Watch out for severe weather on Monday. Right now, it's 51.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, he is running to head up the Wisconsin Democratic Party. Joe Zepecki joins us. Also, Will Westmoreland. His YouTube channel is The Back 40. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. Eagle, 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up!
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade, which means distant thunder. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to the Monday version of Native Roots Radio, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, Dega, you are right. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, a lot going on this week coming up, but also we have Dr. Stately on today. And Haley, what did you do this weekend?
What did I do this weekend?
Watch any good shows or anything?
Oh, gosh, I did watch some good shows. Yeah, well, I was trying to, I'm going to Seattle in a couple weekends.
Wait a minute.
Haley gets some time off. No, I'm just kidding. over the weekend, I've never been to Seattle. Well, I've been to the airport, but I've never been to able to explore the area or anything. We talk about indigenous representation matters all across the board in every room. And we've seen a lot more of this in films in the more recent years, right, Dega? We talk about Killers of the Flower Moon, Res Dogs is a TV series that just blew up, and North of North is a new one on Netflix too.
Prey, that movie about the prequel to that Schwarzenegger movie.
I haven't seen that one. I'll have to check it out.
Oh, what?
But we have a lot of years between the two of us. So when I think of my first run into Native representation in film, I think back to the Twilight Saga.
Oh.
And I was in, I think maybe fourth or fifth grade when the movies came out. The Twilight Saga was a whole book series written by Stephanie Myers. And we know Taylor Lautner played Jacob Black, which was one of the main characters in the saga. Mm-hmm. And Taylor Lautner is not Native. He doesn't have any indigenous representation actually at all.
Wow.
But Taylor Lautner played Jacob Black, who in the films was a member of the Quileute tribe, which is a real tribe, and it's around the LaPush area in Washington State.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so The Twilight Saga actually did cast a few native, true native actors, which is good to hear. And I did a little bit of digging on here because, I don't know, I always liked the Twilight Saga. And it was like being a kid and not knowing about, you know, like fake representation and things like that. I just thought it was so cool because I had never seen people that had looked like me or my cousins in films before. So when they were talking about clans and, you know, in the film, they were the Wolf Clan or whatever. But Yeah. They even talked about like treaties and stuff in the film, but not in the way that would be like educational or anything, but more so for the entertainment of it. But Julia Jones was in the Twilight series, and I don't know if these native actors came in the second movie or the third, but Julia Jones played Leah Clearwater, and Julia is a Native American descendant, specifically from the Choctaw and Chickasaw Nations.
Cool.
Yes, and then Chaske Spencer, who played Sam Yulee, is a member of the Lakota Sioux Nation in the Fort Peckinus Sioux tribes, and he's also enrolled with Fort Peck and Sioux tribes of Montana through his mother. And then I know Kiowa Joseph Gordon was in the Twilight movies too, and he is best known for his role in Embry in the Twilight Saga, but he was also in he played Jim Cree in the AMC series Dark Winstega.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Oh, wow. Great. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah.
But yeah, Graham Greene was in the Twilight Saga too. Graham's been in so many different Native films. And he appeared in season one of The Last of Us, which is like a new TV series that really came out and blew up in 2023. Oh. And they have their new season that just came out.
Exciting. Recently. Exciting. Yeah. And then you're binging on that or watching that?
Yeah. Well, I watched the season two, episode two this morning. That one was released last night. We can talk a little bit more about it later on in the show. I don't want to give away too much, but we got Dr. Stately back, and Dr. Stately's back from Ireland.
Oh, I bet you he's got his Irish skirt on and a little bra, or Dr. Stately's, you know, Erngel bra. Yeah. Well, we got Dr. Stately. We've missed dearly, president and executive officer of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And welcome back. Before we get too far into your trip, we just got to give a shout out to the Pope passed away, and this was the first and only Pope that ever recognized boarding schools.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that he was one of the first to do, but yeah, sad.
Yeah.
I think it's remarkable that he passed away after seeing the vice president. So.
Yeah. Well, did he really see him? Because there's reports that he wouldn't see him, but I don't know.
I think that was like, I think he ended up still seeing him, but like a brief visit with him, even after like, but you know, anyway, I'm kind of joking there, but you know, I'd say like if the vice president reaches out and wants to visit with you, you might want to think twice about that.
Well, especially now after that, right? Jeez.
Jeez. Really?
It's sad though. He died the day after Easter. So sad.
Yeah, definitely. Well, at least he made it through and was able.
Yeah, but he was ill for a while, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And 88's a good run. I think if I could make 88, even if I'm wheeling around in a wheelchair and then being a burden on my family, I'd still go for it.
Oh my God. Something tells me that your wife is going to be wheeling you around in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Like, get one that's motorized. I'm not pushing you around.
Well, we talk about, you know, unplugging and plugging. She wants to be, you know, unplugged. Yeah. And I say, you know, keep me plugged in. I want to be a burden.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good. You know, it's good you have goals.
Yeah. Exactly. So what kind of swag did you get me from Ireland?
I didn't really get a whole lot. You know why? Because I like, first of all, I packed a whole bunch and I was expecting colder weather than it was actually there. And so I had like all these things that I actually didn't need. Like I brought some boots in case it was rain and muddy. It didn't rain at all, hardly at all. You know. Impact of climate change. And it was like really warm there. The first week I was there, it was like in the 60s. you know, high 50s, low 60s, a couple of days, I think it got up almost to 70. It was really beautiful. And everybody there was kept saying, like, you know, oh, we never have this weather. There's never this kind of weather. It's never this warm. We never have 7 or 8 days a row in sunshine, much less sunshine and warm. So with no rain, and it was like remarkable, but it was probably easily the most beautiful place I've been in a really long time.
Very cool. And were you able to see that they have those feathers for people that gave Ireland money during the
Choctaw people? It was an honor to Choctaw people who gave money, who gave some support to them during the famine. I didn't see that because it was way down in the southern tip of the island, way down in Cork. And we were way up in the northern part of Ireland for the first week, in a town called Armagh. And then we spent the second week down in on the southwestern part of the island, in an area they call County Clare, which is also where the burn is, like the old, volcanic. It's just volcanic and rocky there, but it's really beautiful.
Wow. Very cool. Well, hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, and he was good at avoiding the question that he did not get me swag, but it's good to see him again.
And... Oh, I had no room in my luggage for it. It's too large. I couldn't bring it back.
Oh, it's too large what you got me. Awesome. Well, I'll be looking in my mailbox here for UPS to be bringing me stuff. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're with Dr. Stately, President and Executive Officer of Native American Community Clinic, and it's great to see you, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Trump administration wants big changes to the Endangered Species Act. The law has long been interpreted as including protections for habitat on the premise that destroying a species' food and shelter harms the species itself. But now the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and National Marine Fisheries Service said in a proposed rule that degrading or destroying habitat should not be considered harm. Habitat loss is the single biggest driver of wildlife extinction. State officials say someone illegally shot and killed a bull elk near the city of Black River Falls. The animal was one of the primary breeding bulls in an effort to reestablish populations of elk in central Wisconsin. It was wearing a GPS radio collar and there were trail cameras nearby, but the DNR says it still needs the public's help to find the shooter. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues in Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we are here with Dr. Stately, our friend, president, and executive officer at Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And he's just come back from his trip from Ireland, and it was great to hear and great that you made it back safe. Hey, while you were gone, Native American Community Clinic got some funding along with other organizations. Congratulations, and that's pretty awesome that's come through the pipe.
I'm not clear. We got a few funding, but yes, thank you. I think the biggest news that I have is that we actually closed on our capital project on Thursday last week, so we're officially raised the funds to break ground. So
wow, that's amazing.
May, which is really exciting. So that happened when I was in Ireland, and I was super anxious about it being away, and
right.
I kept getting reassurance that we're going to be on task and on target. So, there's a couple of last minute things I had to do. One of the most craziest thing was as part of the closing process, I had to like transfer funds from from our account into another account, and I had to do it through a wire. And then we had to be like done by 3:30 because that's the last time you can do it at 3:30 in the afternoon. And it's to send a wire. to one of our investor banks. And I was at a pub at that point in time with my sister and my niece, and we were having fish and chips, and we were waiting to listen to a band in this mm-hmm. little pub outside of Doolin, Ireland. And I had a really sketchy signal on my phone, but wow. I had enough to get a text, and I tried to go online and answer the wire, but I couldn't get a very clear signal. So to go outside the pub, walk to the top of the hill, which is overlooked like the western part of the Atlantic seaboard. And I'm standing at the top of this mountain, or a big huge hill, and it's like windy out, and it's like the sun is setting, and I'm trying to like get online to like approve the transfer of the money. And I was like, hey, it's a little bit of a tight schedule there, but you know, we got it working.
That's hilarious. That reminds me of Standing Rock when they were blocking all the signals going out of Standing Rock. Mm-hmm. And then if you picked up one leg and then went to the corner of our RV and up in the corner, you could get it. That's crazy.
I remember that.
Or you had to go up on Facebook Mountain or Hill or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. There was like one place I think that everybody would go and they could get a signal, they get to post or something.
Exactly. That's crazy. Hey,
but it was like super exciting that we accomplished that. And, you know, you should have gotten, I think you and Haley would have gotten an invitation from NAC to attend our groundbreaking celebration ceremony this Friday. So, yeah, it's one of the things we're looking forward to. It's apparently going to be the event of the year. So.
Wow. Well, I hope that, you know, we were talking about that, and I hope the blow up colon's going to be there too, so I can get a selfie inside that.
I don't know if it will be.
Yeah, I don't think the blow up colon's going to be there, but you know what? We can make a private event just for you. You and that colon can, like, you know, do your thing.
Right.
Never. Whatever happens in Vegas or in the colon can stay there.
Or in the colon, yeah. Wow, that's cool. I guess. Yeah. Go ahead, Haley.
Oh no, that's great. I didn't. Yeah, definitely looking forward to the groundbreaking ceremony this Friday. No, we're going to be there for sure. And then, you guys also were awarded funding through NACTI. Was the fiscal sponsor for NAC and a few other organizations like Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, Indigenous Protectors Movement. What is that funding going to be used for?
So the funding that came from NACI as a subaward to NAC was money that was directed to us from, I think, Department of Health and Human Services, DHS, Minnesota Department of Health and Human Services. So that money is supporting some of the work that we are doing in the community around preventing opiate use disorder, and specifically in connecting young Native men between the ages of 14, 15 through 24 to traditional practices. Like, that money is going to support like this work we're doing specifically with young Indigenous men in the Twin Cities. I think we're planning to have a young warriors camp in the summer. We've been doing these camps for Indigenous men and women for the last 2 years. And we just had our winter camp for the men's work that we do to support them their ongoing recovery and also their reconnection to their culture and their ceremonies and their traditional practices. And we just had that one wrap up at the end of March, like right before I went to Ireland. And that was a really beautiful experience. We actually sent a small group, a small subset group of those young men off to Cheyenne River to do a buffalo hunt. They They killed the buffalo, and they have worked over the last several weeks to, you know, process the buffalo. I had to go out and buy like 2 freezers to store all the buffalo meat in my my home, because we didn't have space for all the buffalo meat. Wow. And then so they'll do things, and then we'll have a women's camp here coming up in May, I think middle of May, something like that. And then those women will start to work on tanning the wow. buffalo hide from that buffalo kill. They'll probably do a significant amount of the work there in that 3-day camp. And then the men will finish the hide in their next summer camp, which will be in mid-June to late June. Oh. And then if there's more work to be done on that hide or other things that are related to the buffalo, then the young people's camp will do some of that work. So it's all focused on reconnecting to land, to ceremonial ceremonies, to medicines, and to those kinds of things. So it's really intended to support the building of confidence and the ability to sort of practice giving people the space and the things that they need also to like to do those things. One of the things we've learned over the last 3 or 4 years or 5 years or so of doing our traditional healing program is that a lot of people in the Twin Cities, especially in urban places, they don't have like, maybe they didn't grow up around grandparents or great grandparents that taught them those practices. Maybe they didn't grow up near or able to go back home to do things like go to ceremonies or to powwows and those kinds of things. They don't have the resources to be able to make ceremonial objects and ceremonial regalia that you would wear or use for ceremony. So one of the things we've done is over the last couple of years, is we built the process of being able to give younger people and young adults this knowledge and these and access to these things, but also so learn the songs, how to make a drum, how to make a shield, how to make moccasins, how to make the regalia. One of the things we talked about when we decided to do this buffalo hunt was the men went out and they did a traditional hunt with some people from Cheyenne River. You know, they took a couple of them took pictures of them eating, you know, taking the bite out of the buffalo heart or the buffalo liver. One of the things that we got from that buffalo hunt is I have the buffalo heart in my freezer, and when we finally dig the big hole in the ground in front of our new building, which we're going to be putting, we're going to do a 2-part ceremony where our staff all got together last month, and we laid down prayers and put up prayers for our new building and for a successful build, but also like this is our gift, our love song to the community. And so we put all of our love and our prayers into that bundle. That bundle will be buried with the heart of the buffalo at the center of where the building is being built, before we lay the foundation for the building. And that's our offer, our ceremonial offer to the land, to ask the land for permission to build this, but also to support us and sustain us as we embark on this new journey to serve our community and strengthen their ability to kind of stand up and to live good, healthy lives. So it's all connected. All the programming we do with young people and with folks in the community somehow feeds back into sustaining also the organization, strengthening the work that we do and recognizing the reciprocity. We are relatives to each other. So our role and our job here is to take good care of each other. And to everything that we do is we do with the eye on like what's good for the next 7 generations. So we put all of our investments in that.
Wow. Hey, those words, Dr. Stately, are really good medicine. I really appreciate that. Wow, that's just awesome. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, and we're going to take a quick break, and this is Native Roots Radio.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. 9 people are dead in Vancouver, British Columbia, after police say a man drove a vehicle through a crowd at a street festival.
At approximately 8:14 p.m., a lone suspect, subject male with a one vehicle, drove through a crowded community event.
It's Acting Police Chief Steve Rye. That community event celebrating the Filipino community said multiple people were hurt. The police department posted they're confident it was not an act of terrorism.
That male was taken into custody at the scene by the crowd. It was a Filipino community event. The crowd immediately called police. We then took custody of the subject, and he is now in our custody being held.
This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see a mix of sun and cloudiness across the area today. A couple of showers early, otherwise highs in the mid-60s and a southeast breeze. Tonight, showers and storms, a little greater chance. Lows in the lower 50s. Watch out for severe weather on Monday. Right now, it's 51.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On April 22nd, in the Wisconsin State Senate, something happened that you don't see too often. A high-profile bill passed with overwhelming bipartisan support. The Republican-controlled chamber voted 32-1 to extend Medicaid coverage for new moms from 60 days to 12 months. Wisconsin is one of only 2 U.S. states that has not already extended this critical postpartum coverage. So with that kind of support, you'd expect the bill to pass, right? Well, Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has repeatedly blocked this legislation from coming up for a vote. Several Republican state representatives have been speaking out on this, urging Voss to change his tune, but he has not yet budged. It's time for Voss to end this charade and allow this bill to come up for a vote. If he's opposed, he can still vote against it. But one person should not block a bill that has already been supported by the majority of his own party. Let the people vote, Mr. Speaker.
Find all of Dan's work at the recombobulation area. The Todd Albaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the entire draft for the Green Bay Packers and also major things ahead for Congress, including the future of Medicaid. Your calls as well. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are here with Dr. Stately and Haley Cherry, and Dr. Stately is the president and executive officer of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And I know you got to get going here soon, but we want to applaud you, welcome you back, and applaud all the work that Native American Community Clinic has done and is going to be doing in the future. It's exciting news.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It's good to be back on, you know, Minnesota soil, that's for sure. It was lovely to be in Ireland, and I met such amazing people there, just amazingly beautiful, kind, loving, generous, spirited people there. It was like such a really beautiful experience. A good number of them also asked me about, like, you know, what do you think about that president of yours? I was like, please, let's not talk about it. they don't like him over there very much either. So,
Well, I think the feeling's mutual all over the country, all over the world, except for Russia.
I think all over the world. Yeah, exactly. But it was Russia's a beautiful experience. Easily one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. Like, I have breathtaking pictures of, like, the Cliffs of Moher and the beautiful, beautiful North Atlantic Ocean is so incredibly, like, just, oh God, breathtaking. It was just beautiful. And I saw so many stars. Every single night I would go out and take a walk with, like, the people I was staying with. I would go out and take a walk at, like, 9 o'clock, and it would be like, you know, and I'd be up on the top of this mountain. I could just see, like, stars as far as I could possibly look.
Wow.
And I was like, I haven't seen stars like that since I was maybe a kid living in South Dakota in boarding school. It doesn't get dark enough here for us to do that. So really remarkable. I think on the second to last day I was there, I saw a shooting star. I looked up just in time to see it watch it burn out.
Wow.
So it's a good opportunity to say a prayer and, you know, make my little Irish wish.
Yeah. Jeez, no leprechauns though, huh? You didn't see any leprechauns?
No leprechauns, no. In fact, actually, I would really have wished I could have seen a leprechaun. What was interesting though is, like, we were staying in this Airbnb in outside Doolin, and in County Clare, and it started actually when we were first in the northern part, closer to Armagh. Just on the other side of the border of Northern Ireland. And we started noticing, like, little things happening in the house, like, you know, something going missing here, or, you know, those kinds of things, just, you know. And so then, and then when we got to the house down in Doolin, like, you know, somebody lost their brush.
Little people alert.
Yeah. Yeah, so we were like, we talked about that at the woman that we were staying with, whose family was from that region. Her name is Rita Davern. She has a documentary that she made called Stories I Didn't Know, which was about her journey of understanding how her ancestors had come from, who had immigrated, her great grandparents had immigrated from Ireland to Minnesota. Her great grandfather had bought Pike Island, which is part of the, which is actually Bedote, where the Minnesota and Dakota and Mississippi rivers meet, which is kind of like the creation place for Dakota people. Mm-hmm. She had met my sister on a Bedote tour, and she learned about that as being, like, one of the most sacred places for Dakota people, and also the birthing island that Dakota women, one of the many birthing islands that Dakota women would go to have their children. Babies. So she embarked on this journey to learn more about her family and her family's history around Pike Island. And she talked with her, the documentary is about her having conversations with her relatives, including her siblings, about, like, you know, well, what can we do to sort of, like, repair this relationship, this harm? She said, you know, her narrative was basically like, you know, we were colonized in Ireland, and we had our land taken away from us, and all these roots and all these privileges taken away from us, our rights to our land and our religion and our language and our culture. And then we immigrated over here, and we did the same thing to the Dakota people. So her movie is a really beautiful movie. It's a documentary that you can find on TPT or PBS. And it's already seen, I think, over a couple million views in the last four or five years. But that we went back to her family's home in the Burin, which is in one of the oldest and most sacred places in Ireland, on the southwestern coast of the island. And it was such a beautiful and magical place. But we talked about this. We talked about, like, you know, the connections between, Dakota and Ojibwe people. We have these stories about little people that will do things like take something from you and hide it from you, especially if it's something that you put too much ownership into or too much investment in. It's kind of like teaching us a lesson to be like, more generous and less tied to physical things, right? Or, wow. Mm-hmm. And so we had these conversations like, you know, well, why would somebody take my brush?
Yeah.
But there were all these little things that were happening the entire time we were there. And yeah, it was really cool, really very magical. But I didn't actually see one, so that was disappointing.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy. Haley, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, yeah, no, I was just so taken in by that story. What was the name of the person with the documentary?
Rita Davern.
Rita Davern?
Rita Davern, D-A-V-E-R-N. She was part of the O'Davern family, which is one of the oldest families in the part of the territory of Ireland. In fact, she took us home to her place in her burn where their grandparents or great-grandparents are from, and we went on this amazing, we went to visit one of her relatives' sheep farm. They have a sheep herding farm, and they also have a fort that they're responsible for taking care of, which is part of their family's fort. And it was like the some of the excavations that have been done in and around that territory. They work with the Ireland, I guess it would be the equivalent of like our National Museum here to sort of like carbon date things and how old things are in within that territory. And the elements that are part of that original fort that her family was kind of the governors of in that space are, you know, are 1600 BC before, you know.
Wow.
Before Christ or before colonization, however you want to think about that. But it was just remarkable, just an amazing, you know, and there was too much and so much to sort of learn and experience in even just the 10 days we were there in that one specific territory. So, like, you know, I'm already planning to go back in a year or two.
That's awesome. So what's interesting is that, so we have a boat down on the Mississippi, and of course, Bedote, which is talked about. The street Davern goes right to our marina. Mm-hmm. I mean,
when you're by your house, that, doesn't it?
But down to the river.
There's a street called that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Davern.
Mm-hmm. Davern Street. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Her family, but I think one of the things is so that relationship has been a really beautiful relationship, and you know. One of the really cool things was we went to like these schools and other areas, and we made the news because my niece Jillian and Ramona and I, we spoke to a couple of these schools. We visited a school specifically at the foothills of I think it's called Slieve Gwillion, which is one of the oldest. So that part of Ireland that Armagh is in and around Armagh is called the Ring of Gwillion, and it's there was a I think an astronomical or geological aberration that happened where there was a volcano underneath Ireland back in the I guess ice age and then the volcano, instead of erupting outward, it imploded, and when it imploded it forced it down into the earth, and then it caused these big huge mountains to come up in this round shape area in that part of the country. Incredibly beautiful mountainous area that's just remarkably gorgeous and just has the most unusual rock formations and also soil and the kinds of things that grow there. Just a remarkably beautiful, deeply, deeply spiritual place. It's like when you're in the space, you can just feel the power. It's so incredible, beautiful.
Wow, so, we need to talk more about this. But Dr. Staley, we've held you on 4 minutes long here, and we always appreciate your time.
It's okay, I'm good until 6 o'clock.
Oh, hey. Yeah. Oh, this is even...
Yeah, this is even, surprise. Yeah. No, happy birthday. You get me for the full hour.
Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah, it's been a while since we did that. That's like back to the old days.
Yeah. But it was like, you know, it was, I just like, I would say that you know, one of the things that was really cool about the whole thing is it reminded me of like how important it is for us. Like as Indigenous people, we have always traveled everywhere. We didn't stay in one place. You know, this idea that we would just stay in one area. We also didn't have the same ideas about our relationship to land. Like, you know, colonizers, their relationship to land is like, I own this, this is mine, I'm gonna stay here forever, and I'm gonna do everything I can to protect that because it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's about, and whereas, you know, our relationship to land as Indigenous people is like, it's deeply spiritual, deeply ceremonial, it's deeply, you know, and one of the things I think that was really remarkable about the trip is how much it reminded me about, you know, as Indigenous people, we've always traveled all the four corners of the earth. We went to all these other places where we found relatives and we learned something from them and we brought those things back home. And that's one of the reasons I think why we have a lot of similarities in the way that we sort of like the way we the rituals that we have in which we practice ceremony, the ways in which we the relationships we have with land and the animals and the spirits of the place. It's because we shared stories and we shared knowledge and wisdom and practices.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break, and I just got to remind everyone listening to Dr. Stately is that, you know, we all come from tribes. You know, some of us, we're the last ones colonized, you know, us Indigenous mm-hmm. people, but, you know, before the religious fanatics came in and changed everything, we all been kinship to the earth and Father Sky. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. I'm here with Dr. Stately and Haley Cherry, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
My perfect day has sand, salt water, and friends. But my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can take me out of the moment. Now I'm all in with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi. Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, most people saw 90% clearer skin, and many were even 100% plaque-free at 4 months. Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin. And that means everything. Nothing is everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh-ho, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hecha, wecha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. How?
Ow!
Ow!
Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, President and Executive Officer of Native American Community Clinic, along with producer and co-host Haley Cherry. We're just talking about the spiritual ride that Dr. Stately had in Ireland, and it's I can feel it. It's kind of changed you a little bit too.
Yeah, it has. I think it's really given me a different perspective on some things. So one of the really cool things was we went and visited with this friend of Rita's who lives in the house that her great grandmother or great grandfather lived in the Burn, and we went to visit them and spend some time talking with them in their home, and then we went to dinner that same evening. We went out to dinner, came back and spent a little bit more time talking with them into the wee hours of the night. But one of the things they told us about was that, you know, the house is built on this part of the Burn where there's one of the oldest, deepest, longest underground caves goes all the way back to from the mountain underneath the land, underneath their land where their house is. And that as when we left their home and we went to go to the restaurant where we were going to have dinner at, remarkable restaurant, by the way, it was amazing, right on the ocean. And we were driving and they stopped and they said, oh, we got to show you Gullum's, I think it's called Pollum's Cave or Pollum's Hole. And it's this big, huge opening on their land that is this big, huge underground cave that's thousands of years old and goes underneath their land and their home. And we were walking up to that thing, and it was, and they were telling us that this is where R.J.R.R. Tolkien had gotten his idea for Gollum and Gollum's Cave. It's from Pollum's Cave. He had visited that territory.
Precious.
Yeah, I was like, oh, it's precious. Yeah. And they were telling me that they had gone down into that cave a number of times, and it's so deep and it's so dark in there that you have to tell somebody if you're going to go into the cave so that they know to go looking for you if you don't come home within like a day or two. You have to wear a headlamp and you have to have multiple batteries for the headlamp because it's so dark in there you can't see anything. And there have been people that have gotten lost in there, right? And so I was like, oh, spooky. But ooh, but later, really? Yeah, but yes. And so later that night, after we have dinner, we go back to their house and we're like talking, just kind of visiting and having conversation and some after dinner, what do they call them? I don't know what drink they were calling, but I had that virgin drink of the nature, but it was amazing. And Irish coffee, right? So Irish coffee has a little bit of liqueur in it. I had the coffee without the liqueur in it. Yeah. Just a little bit of cinnamon and cream. But we were talking and we started talking about ghost stories. And they started telling us stories about the ghosts that are in their houses.
Yeah. And
Archie's this older man who's really good friends with Rita, and his spouse is Martin, who's also a psychologist like me. And so him and I hit it off and we're having conversations about that. And he was like, well, I didn't believe in the ghost thing. He goes, I just thought it was a bunch of malarkey. And, he's from New York. He's not an Irishman. Mm-hmm. But he goes, then he started telling us about the things that actually happened in the house that made him a believer in ghosts and a believer that their house is haunted. Now they have a relationship with these haunted things and they've established these are the conditions in which you're allowed to be here and where you can't be allowed here and those kinds of things. So, but they're telling us these stories and I was thinking, okay, yeah, people like going into the cave and disappearing. That's a legit.
Yeah.
That happened to me. You can be assured hell I'd be haunting your land.
Well, it's funny. We had, a ceremony here for Wendy's ear a few years ago. And, the person that was doing it goes, there's an old lady that lives here. And, our cat turned and looked, looked as if, the person, the lady had walked up the stairs. It was like, whoa, this is crazy.
Yeah. And it's thing. We're having this conversation in their living room and they have like this, they have a brand new black, wood burning stove in the living room. Mm-hmm. And then behind the stove is this big, huge, huge, what used to be a fireplace is built. It's walled in now, right? And they built up the floor and stuff like that. But it was the kind of house the house was like over 1600 years old. It's original rocks that were built in the house way back then. And wow. In that fireplace, it used to be one of those fireplaces where you could walk into, and it would have a witch's cauldron in it and like big swings where you could swing the pot back and forth, that kind of thing. And he goes, and we had to change that when we bought the property. He goes, and they had to build up a floor, a more modern floor and those kinds of things. So we're having these conversations about the ghosts in the house. And they have these two little dogs. I think they're pugs. Mm-hmm. And there's this little black one, so adorable, darling little thing. He's old as dirt, though. He's probably as old as the rocks that were there. Mm-hmm. He starts looking at the fireplace and at the little black wood burning stove, and he's looking at it and he's barking, rah, rah, rah. And he'd walk away and he'd come back, rah, rah. And I was like, "Yeah, he sees something."
Wow.
I was like, I think we're going to finish our coffee and go now. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Our animals can see the spirits. You know, yeah. I noticed you said, I wrote it down, wee hours. That sounds very Irish. Wee hours, you said.
Oh, yeah, and the wee hours. Everything is wee, little, you know. And they corrected me because one time I was talking to this guy, Virgil, who was this amazing musician, just like self-taught musician. He was with us. We had a night with him and his wife and a few other people at our first house, and he taught us how to like do their little drums. Their drums are called bourdons or something like that, and they're kind of similar to our drums, but they're open in the back, and you put your hand inside the drum and you hold the drum on your hand and your leg and in your arm, and you put your hand inside, and then you use your drumstick differently. You don't beat on it. You stroke it. And you stroke it in other parts of the thing. And when you put your hand in different places on the drum, because it's a really thin, sheepskin, I think. Yeah, sheepskin. They have a lot of sheep there. Wherever you place your hand, it changes the tone of the drum based on where you put your hand.
Cool.
And so, because it changes the vibration, right? So we had been talking about some of these things, and at one point in time, we're like, we have some medicines we want to give you. So I gave him like sweetgrass, sage, and cedar. I gave him, like, Archie had some allergies, so I gave him some of the misting spray that you can use. I said, you might want to, cleanse your house and do some, do some offering, give them some food, give those spirits some food, share some of the food that you have with them. Those are our practices that we do. So we feed those spirits so they don't become restless. Mm-hmm. And then we ran off in the middle of the night and went home.
Same. I would have done the same.
Quickly. Yes. It was the wee hours.
The wee hours. They make fun of me because I would say wee little. And the guy says, Virgil says, you don't have to say wee little. It's the same thing. Wee and little. Same thing. I said, but you say it. That's where I got it from. Wee little. And he goes, oh, yeah, but I'm Irish. That's how we say it.
So cool. Hey, great to see you, Dr. Stately. We'll see you Friday, and I'll have bells on. And congratulations to all the great work, and you deserve
this
vacation.
Thank you so much. I could not have gotten it achieved with a lot of support from the community, and especially organizations like yours who have just championed our project for the last couple of years. So thank you so much, Jimmy Gwich.
Big Peeny Geeky. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We'll all see you tomorrow. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Eagle 1490 AM. Civic Media. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it. That is below the dignity of your station, man.
Derek Van Orden wants you to know, as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom. Me too. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. You know what's below the dignity of your station? Being a jerk while someone is raising valid concerns about the jerk move that you're about to make.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. 9 people are dead. A number of others were hurt after someone drove a vehicle through a street festival in one of Canada's largest cities.
The bloodshed at closing time, just after 8 p.m. in Vancouver, British Columbia, north of Seattle, at the street festival where hundreds of Filipinos were celebrating Lapu-Lapu Day, a holiday that honors their heritage. Police arresting a lone suspect, a 30-year-old man from Vancouver, at the scene.
Prior to police arrival, he was taken into custody by people in the crowd.
Vancouver's Mayor Ken Sim tweeting, "I am shocked and deeply saddened by the horrific incident at today's Lapu-Lapu Day event."
That's ABC's Alex Prochet. Police overnight said there's no indication this was an act of terror, but it happened as the country prepares to go to the polls in tomorrow's national elections. Prime Minister Mark Carney said he's devastated to hear about the horrific events and that the government is monitoring the situation closely. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.